pray. Father, indeed, it is a privilege to come to you because we do need you. We thank you so much for what you have already done for us. You've paid the price to wash away our sins. We thank you for that. We thank you for hearing our prayers, for caring about us as individuals, for caring about Mark in his wheelchair. Thank you for those answered prayers and for Gloria and for the needs of healing, the needs for safety in our travels. Thank you for being with Harold over the past weeks and different ones of us that have put miles on. We thank you for safety. We thank you for your body that we can join together and we can draw strength from each other and our prayers for each other. Lord, help us to know that we're not an island. We're not alone, but we are part of a family, and we do need you. Just pray you would be with those that aren't with us this morning, those that are traveling, those that are serving in various parts of the world. Lord, I pray you would bless and encourage them this Christmas season especially. Now, I just pray that you would bless Harold as he shares the message that you have given him with us. I pray that our ears would be open, our hearts would be open, and that we would hear the message from you, because we do indeed need you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good to be back with you. I do miss being here. It's always good to be home. I tend to be a homebody. I like being at home. And so it's always somewhat of a stretch for me to go on trips like that. But the Lord has been very gracious and merciful and given me grace and helped me to be able to enjoy those type of things. Luke and I spent about 4 days together in Nepal, training the group that we had trained last year in phase two of the leadership material. Then Luke went on to another village to do another training, and I stayed there and helped those that we had trained train their people in the first phase. And that was very interesting. We had five people that were there. Our group was a little bigger than that last year, but some changes happened. And so we had five people that were training 13 people. And I was excited to see, they're mostly young people, but just I just sensed that they were quality people, that God has plans for their lives, and I was very encouraged with that. Then I came home and worked for 2 days at home, job that I needed to get done, and we took off and went to Georgia for my family get-together at Thanksgiving, and then we went on down to Sarasota for a few days to relax. So we got back Thursday evening. It's good to be back. I know I wanted to say something about the men of valor. I just recently, well, in fact, I read a good bit of it on my trip, Asher Whitmer's new book, Live Free. And I would recommend that you get that book and read it. Asher opens his heart with a lot of his struggles and with male sexuality. He gives some very practical help and encouragement, and I would encourage everyone to read that book. For those of you that don't know, Ernest's wife, Asher's mother, was killed 4 or 5 years ago just as they were getting ready for a wedding. And so he knows what pain is. He knows what heartache is. He shares from a heart that the Lord has broken and mended. and very, very meaningful. I'd like to share a message that the Lord laid on my heart some time ago. And again, this message is a very personal message, because it relates, and I'll share more about that. It relates to me and some of the things that the Lord has spoken to me over the last while. But I want to turn to Genesis chapter 3, and I want us to read there. I want us to get the picture of what's going on here. God has finished creating all the things that He created. And He said it's very good. And as He observed His creation, He looked at Adam and He said, Adam needs somebody to help him. And so He created a wife for Adam, Eve. And God told Adam, it's your job to keep the garden that He had made for them to live in. And He said, and this, by the way, this is before Eve was created, if I understand right. God told this to Adam, of every tree of the garden you may eat, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so Adam was responsible to pass this information on to Eve, which he did. Okay? Then we come into chapter 3 here, and the serpent was more subtle or crafty than any beast of the field. So the appearance is that the serpent was actually also a beast of some kind, which the Lord God had made. And the serpent said to the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, you remember a while back I talked about the biggest, most important thing that we need to believe if we are going to be successful Christians. Do you remember what that was? The thing that we need to believe the most about God. It's a foundation that we have got to build on if we are going to get anywhere at all. God is good. Okay, I'm going to say that and I want you to respond. God is good. All the time. Okay, let's try that again. God is good, and you say all the time. I'll say all the time, you say God is good, all right? God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen. God is good. Now, look what happens here. Did God say this? You shouldn't eat of this fruit? And the woman said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. Or you might die is actually the meaning of the word there. And the serpent said unto the woman, you will not die. Okay? God says, you'll die. The serpent says, you will not die. Okay? God knows in the day you eat thereof, your eyes will be opened. And you'll be like gods. He didn't say like him. You notice that? He said like gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw, there's three things here, and we'll get into this, three things she saw. The tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit, and she ate it, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open. Satan said, if you eat this, your eyes will be opened, right? And their eyes were opened. But the problem is, they saw something that wasn't there before. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? And this, by the way, is singular. He's talking specifically to Adam. Where are you, Adam? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you, again, Adam, that you were naked? Have you, Adam, eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you that you, Adam, shouldst not eat? And the man said, the woman, which you gave me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, beguiled me, means deceived, and I did eat. And so the Lord went on and gave the curses that he gave there to them. Very interesting passage of Scripture. So deep with meaning. I'm here today to confess that I need Jesus. I'm here to confess as well that I have the tendency to try to cover myself with fig leaves. And so I want us to look at this thing today and see what's going on here. Do I need Jesus? Why? We're Christians, right? So we're going to say, yeah, I need Jesus. But really? Why do I need Jesus? Do I need him just to get me out of binds that I get myself in? Do I need him for what? Did Adam need Jesus? Did he need God's presence? What do I use to try to cover my sin, my shame, the pain of my heart, all the stuff that's down in there that I don't want anybody to know about? To see. What do I put out there to cover all of that? I'm not asking you if you have that. You have it. We all have. We're all broken. As human beings, since Adam, all of us are broken. We have sin. John, 1 John says, if we say that we have no sin, we are fooling ourselves. That's talking to Christians. He's saying if we don't have it in our hand, we're fooling ourselves. So what do I use to try to cover that sin and all the pain and all the shame that goes along with that, that comes into my heart because of broken relationships, broken relationship with God, broken relationships with people, broken stuff going on in my life all the time. The Apostle Paul wrote about that in Romans chapter 6 and 7 and back in there. And he says, The good that I want to do, I don't do. The bad I don't want to do, I do it. Who's going to deliver me from all of this? How am I going to find a way out of all this? He's describing the brokenness that all of us deal with as human beings. What do I use to try to cover my shame? Am I open before God and others? You see, this whole thing that we're looking at here is about being open, about being transparent. Adam and Eve weren't transparent in the sense that you could see through them, but they were transparent in the sense that there was nothing hidden. Their life was open before God. And God could come and walk with them, and they could be comfortable like that. In the presence of God, they could be comfortable because their life was transparent. It was open. There was nothing to hide. There was nothing that needed to be covered or protected. They were not vulnerable in the sense that it produced fear. What causes me to hide? Adam and Eve went into hiding. They couldn't face God. They couldn't deal with that righteousness, that presence. Adam said, "I heard your voice, and I hid myself from your presence." Let's just think about this a little bit. Fig leaves represent my own effort to cover my sin and shame. Now, this is kind of off on a side note. Maybe you want to do a little digging on your own. The first three trees that are mentioned in the Bible are the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life, and the fig tree. And you follow the fig tree through the Bible, it's some interesting stuff. I don't have time to go there today. But I want us to start back here. Just a minute. Let me back up here. I want to go back into verse 6. I thought I put a slide in there that maybe I forgot. I did forget. Okay, I want to back up to verse 6, and I want us to think about that just a little bit. Eve said she saw that the tree was good for food. That's satisfying to the flesh. She saw that the tree was pleasant to the eyes. That's satisfying to our own desires, our own wisdom. She saw that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. That's exalting yourself. And I find it interesting that 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, 16, 17, and in there, tell us, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh." Oh, she saw that it was good for food. The lust of the eyes. Oh, she saw that it was pleasant to look at. And the pride of life. Oh, this is going to make me better. Just remember something. Not everything that looks good is good. Not everything that looks good is good. Not everything that tastes good is good. And not everything that says it's going to make you better is good either. You remember when Steve Stutzman was here, he said, "Agreement with God is righteousness. Agreement with Satan is sin. And sin has consequences. Do you see what's going on here in this story? God has said, this is good. And Satan comes along and says, oh, I got something that's just as good or better. Now, is what Satan offered good or not good? What is it? Why? Why is what Satan offered not good? Some of what he offered came to pass, right? She ate the food and it tasted good. She looked at it and it looked good. Just like he said. She ate it, they ate it, and their eyes were open, just like he said. Why is this not good? It's the opposite of what God said, right? God says, don't eat of it. In the day you eat of it, you're gonna die. And Satan says, you're not gonna die. This is good. So agreement with Satan is sin. And sin has consequences. Let's look at it. So the eyes of them both were open. They knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and they made themselves aprons. I find this very interesting. They used what God had created, what God had made, to try to protect themselves from the all-seeing eyes of God. They felt vulnerable. They felt exposed. Now, I'll look at this just in a minute, but I think what I would say is that prior to this, they were covered in light. And we'll look at that just a little bit. But just so you understand. So they took what God had made and used it in a way that was not intended by Him. I'm talking about the fig leaves. And I, you know what? Our own efforts are just not going to cut it. We can try all day long to deal with what's in our heart, to hide it, to cover it, to do whatever with it, it's not going to cut it. No way, no how. My good deeds, what I put on, anything I trust to gain standing with God other than the work of Jesus Christ is not going to cut it. I look at those fig leaves and I say, Adam and Eve, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? Now, one thing, they had never seen any death before. Nothing had died. Everything was growing and lush. So they didn't know that when you take fig leaves off the tree, they're going to shrivel up and wither up. And they didn't know that they're going to get nasty and tear, and pretty soon they're not going to have anything. They didn't know all of that. But why would they use a fig leaf? I thought about it. You know what elephant ears are, don't you? The flower, the plant. Those great big leaves. Why didn't they get those? You know, I don't know what they were thinking. But it just is the way that we end up dealing with our stuff. Anything that we try to do to deal with the stuff within us is just as foolish as Adam and Eve's trying to cover their nakedness with fig leaves. Here's our heart. Self-satisfying, self-pleasing, self-exalting, believing lies. And here's what we do. We take those fig leaves and we try to cover that up. And look, these are all things that God has given to us that we use to try to cover. They're not wrong things. They're things that we need. Was the fig leaves wrong? No. The fig leaves were not wrong. The fig leaves were something God had made and intended for them to enjoy and to use. But God had never intended for them to take those fig leaves and make aprons and try to cover what was going on inside. Now there's all those things. We work. Some people, a lot of people, work and work and work and work and work. I'm talking physical work. They do two shifts at work. Not because they need the money, because they're trying to cover the pain. Because they're trying to cover the stuff that's going on in their heart. People do good works. The Pharisees did good works. They wanted to cover up what was going on inside of them. And Jesus called them out. He said, "You guys are hypocrites. Inside you're full of dead man's bones. On the outside you look like a whitewashed front of a sepulcher." Business, money, humor. Sad to say, oftentimes some of the people that are always cracking jokes and always look like the life of the party, oftentimes their hearts are full of pain and hurt and tragedy, and they're trying to cover that up. We don't want to expose ourselves. We're afraid. We're afraid that if we're seen for what we are, we won't be accepted. We're afraid that if somehow we let people know what's really going on in our heart, that that's going to belittle us. That that's going to cause us to be cast out or whatever. And so we take all of these things. Religion, education, good deeds, giving, praying. I've known people that could pray. Oh my, could they pray? But I found out later that they were covering a lot of stuff by their prayers. Those were fig leaves. You know what? They may cover us for a little bit. They may protect us for a little bit. But God sees through them. He knows exactly what's going on down in there. Kindness to others, serving, acting. A lot of people act. They act like Christians when they're together with other Christians. I'm thinking of a young man. I've been praying for him. For most people that know him, he seems like a very Christian guy. But he's hiding a lot of stuff in his heart. A lot of stuff. Oh, wow. Legalism. Even preaching. Even mission work. All of those things. Now look, none of those are wrong things. They're all things God has given us. They're all things God wants to be done. But if we use them to cover ourselves and keep us from being exposed and vulnerable, they're not going to work. They're not what God intended. God wants us to be open and naked before Him. Not physically naked. Don't go there. I'm not talking about that. He wants us to be totally vulnerable and totally intimate and totally honest with who we are. And you know what? Until we get there, He can't do very much with us. Oh, He can use us. He's able to do that. But we become most useful when we get beyond that. Hiding. My way of dealing with brokenness. Lord willing, I'm going to have another message on this aspect of it later on. They hid themselves from the presence of God. Oh,
Does that strike you? They're created by God in this beautiful, perfect place. Just awesome. Everything that He had made, God said, was very good, including them. And all of a sudden, one day, God comes to fellowship with them, to walk with them, and they're hiding. They don't want His presence. They don't want to walk with Him. They don't want to see Him. They don't want Him to even know where they are. Because of what's going on inside of them. Hiding. Not facing my sin. Or agreeing with God. Agreement with Satan is sin. And sin has consequences. There were consequences coming. Things were happening because they had made agreement with Satan. They had not agreed with God. Remember, we talked about confession a while back. Confession is agreeing with God. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, agreeing with God about who Jesus is and how much I need Him. So we're not facing our sin or agreeing with God. We're not walking in the light, but in darkness. And we'll look at that just a little bit more later. We use what God has made to protect us from Him. Now, this has happened again here. This is a pattern. And it's a pattern that continues to this day in our lives. God wants us to come before Him and be open. Adam and Eve tried to cover themselves with the fig leaves. And then they went and hid in the trees of the garden. God had made both of those. The fig leaves and the trees. He had made them both. And they, rather than using them to honor and glorify God, used them to try to hide from God. To try to keep God from discovering what had happened with them. I want us to know something. You and I will never be free until we come clean. Laying it all out. Just putting it out there and saying, I don't care. I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care what happens because of this. I want freedom. I want more. That's not going to happen as long as we're hiding and using the stuff that God has given us to try to hide from Him, to try to walk away from Him. I see something really beautiful here. Oh, this is so beautiful. That's so true in our own lives. God pursuing man. The Lord God called to Adam and He said, where are you, Adam? Was God asking that because He didn't know where Adam was? Of course not. He was asking that because He wanted Adam to admit where he was. You know what God wants from us? He's pursuing us. God knows what, He knows what's in my heart. He knows all about me. And He just wants me to admit that to Him. And I like Romans 8:35. It says, who is going to separate us from the love of God, of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness. Is that going to separate me from God? No. God's going to keep pursuing you. He's pursuing you now. He's going to keep on pursuing you. His longing is for you and I to lay our hearts bare before Him. And quit trying to make ourselves look good. See, that's what this fig leaf stuff is all about. We are good. All of us are good at making ourselves look good. That's a problem. Because what's happening when we're making ourselves look good? We are agreeing with Satan. We're believing lies. And agreement with Satan is sin, and it has consequences. Recognizing sin, but not facing God. It's not enough to know we're doing wrong. It's not enough to know what God has to say about what we're doing. Verse 10, Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Hiding from God is not where you want to go. It's not where you want to go. In the first place, you're not hiding. We'll look at that a little bit more. He sees everything. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe it is. Let me just get that verse there real quick. Therefore judge, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God or receive commendation from God. Here's how it says in the ESV. Therefore do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness, and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from the Lord. Hiding from God and hiding from others works for a while, but it doesn't work forever. You ever meet somebody and you just felt like their eyes were drilling right through you? Well, John talks about, in Revelation, John talks about Jesus' eyes like that. We'll look at that. Now, am I going to agree with God or am I going to agree with Satan? That's the question. That's the question in all of this. Who told you you're naked? Did you eat of the tree? Where have I commanded that you should not eat? I just want to back up here. I want us to think about this a little bit. God said, in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. Absolutely. So now they ate and they're hiding. And God came walking into the garden. Some of you remember when you did something wrong and your dad was mad and he came looking for you. You knew by the way he walked what was going to happen. God came walking into the garden. Not that way at all. Not that way at all. He came seeking. He already was planning redemption. And so he comes and he says, Adam, where are you? I want to connect with you. I want to have fellowship with you. I want you to come to me. And Adam says, I hid. And God says, did you eat? Did you eat? I told you not to. Did you do that? Adam blames his wife. Interestingly enough. I'm not going to go into all of that, but I want us to think about something here. The blood of the Lamb, the only way to cover my sin. How much good works can you do to get rid of your sin? Is there a balance scale that if you do more good works than you've done wrong, the balance turns in favor of the good works? Is that how it happens? You look kind of puzzled. Is that how it happens? Huh? If you're Hindu? It might be how we like to think it'll happen. That's not how it happens. It's not a balance scale. If we do more good than wrong, it'll be covered. No. We got to answer to God. The Bible does not describe all of this scene to us. But as I looked at this passage again, I noticed some things, and it just became one of the most beautiful scenes to me in all of Scripture. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that He would give His only Son to die for me. His treasure. Verse 21 says, "Unto Adam and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins, and he clothed them." It doesn't say a lamb here, but I'm convinced it was. What else would make sense? Adam and Eve had never seen death. There had never been an animal slaughtered. And all of a sudden, a little innocent lamb was slaughtered. Its skin was taken off, or several of them, and made coats for them. And Adam and Eve were covered in the blood of the lamb. If that doesn't move you, I don't know. God said, "In the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." Absolutely, God knows what He's talking about. And we often say, "Well, that meant spiritually." No, that meant physically. But you know what God pictured for us there? In the day that we eat of it, we should surely die also. But He's given us a picture. He's given us hope. He's given us the picture of redemption, the plan that He's made for all of mankind. And He puts these coats of the lambs on them. And by the blood of the lamb, they don't die. The lamb dies. Oh yeah, they died. But not that day. That day, the lambs died. Now, Hebrews 9, verse 22 says, "By the law, almost all things are purged by blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins." If those lambs had not died that day, Adam and Eve would have died. If Jesus Christ had not died that day, you and I would have to die. You see, fig leaves just don't cut it. I need the blood of the Lamb. I need the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not by my own efforts. It's not by my own strength. It's not by all the good things I do. It's not by hiding. It's not by covering. It's by coming and confessing before God, "I'm in agreement with you, God. What I've done is awful. I've tried to make it look good. I've tried to make people think that I'm better than I am, and I'm not. God, I'm agreeing with you. I'm a sinner. It's in me. I have it in my hand. I can't get away from it. I need the blood of the Lamb to cover me and wash me and protect me and give me mercy. Light as a garment. I mentioned this. I just want us to look at this real quickly. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He's my light. Adam and Eve could have said this before they sinned. The Lord's my light. Light, when I polish, if I polish in the dark or something not real bright, even if I'm polishing in my barn with all the lights on, and I get done and it looks awesome, you know what I do? I take it out in the sun, and it looks awful. And I take it back in and I work on it again. The light shows what's inside. For with thee is the fountain of life. Psalm 36, verse 9. In thy light shall we see light. Psalm 104, verse 2. Who coverest thyself with light as with a garment. God made man in his image. And so that's where I conclude that Adam and Eve were covered in light. God covers himself in light. They were covered in light. And when they sinned, the light left and the darkness came. And the same thing happens with us. Let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 through 16. He already knows and provides. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow. He's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. He knows why we want to do what we want to do. He knows what our thoughts are, what we're thinking, what our purposes, what our plans are. Neither is there any creature that is not exposed, manifest, right there in His face, in His sight. All things are naked and opened. And that opened there is the idea of a neck turned back and exposed to the knife. All things are naked and opened. No, there's no protection. No, there's no getting away. All things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. That's scary. But He goes on. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Proper clothing is provided by God. We saw that with Adam and Eve. The clothing that would really cover and satisfy God, God provided. You know what? He does the same thing for us. He doesn't ask us to come up with the clothing to wear. When He says that we're naked and poor and miserable and blind and wretched, that we need to go to Him. Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, so the shame of your nakedness doesn't appear. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that you may see. I counsel you, come, buy from me. How do we buy that? Do we give our firstborn? Is that how we buy it from Him? No. That's not enough. we give him everything. God, this is yours. I want to buy. I want to buy that gold that's tried in the fire. I want to be rich in you. I want that white raiment, not those filthy fig leaves that rot and fall off and expose me again. I have to keep making new ones. Revelation chapter 6, verse 15. Behold, I'm going to come like a thief. This is from the Amplified. Blessed, happy to be envied is he who stays awake, alert, and who guards his clothes so that he may not be naked and have the shame of being seen exposed. One of the things when we look at the judgment of God is that at the judgment seat of God, when all the earth stand before him and the books are opened, everything is going to be exposed that is not covered by the blood of the Lamb. Everything is going to be exposed to the whole world. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what we've done. If we've got stuff that's down in there that we're covering with fig leaves, one day God is going to rip the fig leaves off and it's all going to be out there. So he says, buy these clothes and guard those clothes. Keep them. Don't let fig leaves take their place. Revelation 19, verse 8. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. The fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now, that, how do we get righteousness? That white, fine linen, how do we get that? From Jesus Christ. That's not something we produce. It's not something that we're able to make. There is not a person, a tailor, a seamstress on earth that can make fine linen that will be the righteousness of the saints. It only comes from Jesus Christ. And we receive it when we become transparent, vulnerable, open before him, and lay things out before him. What a beautiful place. I thank God for that. Oh, I thank God for that. When we sin, I picked this up, I don't remember where I got it. When we sin, one of two things will happen. We will either start looking for fig leaves to make our own flimsy cover up, or we'll go looking to Jesus for his robe of righteousness. I don't know about you, but I want that robe of righteousness. I want to come before God, and I've done that. Oh, I've done that. God, here's all the fig leaves that I've been using. Here's all the stuff I've been doing to try to cover what's going on in my life. God, take it. I agree with you. I agree with you, God. Take that junk. Take it away. And cover me with the blood of the Lamb so that I can have white robes and the righteousness of the saints, the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask us to bow our heads and close our eyes. And I'm going to just ask you, if God has showed you this morning that you're trying to cover with fig leaves, be honest with him. Confess. Repent. Ask him to take that away and cover you with the blood of the Lamb. I'm just going to ask, if there's someone here this morning that's especially burdened, you just feel like it's almost more than you can deal with, and you want some help, just come to the altar. Come kneel down here in the front. We'll be glad to help you, glad to pray with you. And if you're afraid to do that and you want some help, just say something. It would be a joy and a blessing to help you to get past those fig leaves, to get past that nakedness and that shame and all that junk that's there in your heart. He wants to clean that. He wants to restore that fellowship in Jesus Christ. Let's stand together for prayer. God, you've told us in the book of James that mercy rejoices against judgment. And we see that so clearly in this story today. Adam and Eve should have died that day. I should be dead because I've made agreements with Satan. I've not agreed with you so many times, O God. And yet, your mercy continues. And we know, Lord, that if we continue to refuse, continue to turn away from your mercy, if we continue to make our own fig leaf aprons and think that's going to get us by, judgment is coming. And you will set things straight. We know that. The Lord, today is the day of grace, the day of mercy. Your mercies are new again this morning. Great is your faithfulness. We thank you. And Father God, I pray that your Spirit move on our hearts this morning, O God. That any of us that are trying to cover, trying to hide behind fig leaves or any other good thing that you've made for us and not let people see what we really are, what's really down in, oh God, I pray that your Spirit just move in a mighty way in our hearts, that we might long, that we might desire, that we might seek, O God, to have a pure heart, a clean heart, a heart that's honest and open before you, O Lord, because you know it all already. We're not fooling you. We're not hiding it from you. We're not able to trick you in any way. So we just come into your presence, O God, and we thank you. We bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen.